teaching can be difficult, right? You can have all your words laid out like you want them. You can have everything set up the way you want to, but teaching depends on the hearer, right? That person has to understand what you're saying. They have to understand how to put it into practice. And I watch this, and first of all, the little boy is awesome in this. His facial expressions are amazing. But how much easier would it have been to teach somebody to make a peanut butter, something as simple as a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, how much easier would it have been if they could have just shown their dad, right? As they were talking, just show them, to show him exactly what to do. It would have been so much easier. Something as simple as making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich becomes difficult when we're limited to just using words to teach. Now, for all my teachers out there, what am I pointing at for this to work? I'm not asking that. Is it on? How do I turn? It's not on. Yeah. Okay. My teachers out there, we know this term, experiential learning, right? It's basically learning by doing. Actually, physically doing something helps you learn how to do it so much better. In fact, there's anywhere from a 75 to 90% retention rate when you do something, as opposed to only about 5 to 10% retention rate from hearing alone. So that just shows that actually performing the act helps to ingrain that into our brains even more. One of the great teachers of all time, a philosopher by the name of Aristotle, said this: for the things we have to learn before we can do them, we learn by doing them. Now, if you've ever played a sport, if you've ever played an instrument, if you've ever worked on a car, if you've ever taught somebody, you know this, right? You know that there are things that you can't learn unless you do them. And the only way to learn how to do something better is by doing it, right? And so this idea pops up in Scripture. The Bible has something to say about experiential learning. So we're going to be in James chapter 1 this morning, starting in verse 21 and 22. James is writing, and he's talking about how to be a follower of Christ, the things that you do to be a follower of Christ, things that you do and things that you don't do. And he says this, starting in verse 21. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So, put away all the evil, wicked stuff and receive the implanted word of God, which is able to save your souls. In verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. This is an interesting verse, and you kind of have to go to the original Greek to understand the full meaning of this, and I'll try to explain it a little bit. It's been 20-something years since I took Greek. I don't know Greek anymore, so I'm relying on others for this. But there's a connection between the word and deceiving yourselves. In Greek, this term logos implies not just a spoken word, but the truth. Okay, this is the exalted word of God, but it implies a truth, capital T truth. And so when James says be doers of the word, this is the true word, but not hearers only, deceiving yourselves, those two ideas are linked. Okay, by doing we're doing the truth, but by hearing only, we're deceiving ourselves. It's a willful deceit. All right? It's saying, I'm going to be blind to this. All right? So James is saying, in order to really let the Word of God dwell in you, in order to really live a kingdom lifestyle, you can't just hear what God's saying. Okay? You can't just hear the Word. Knowledge, all the knowledge of Scripture in the world by itself is empty. You have to actually put that into action. You have to do something about it. If you're going to be a follower of Jesus, you actually have to follow him. You can't just know a lot about him. He goes on. It says, verse 23 and 24, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forget what he was like." This idea of looking at yourself in the mirror, I think most of us do this in the morning. We look at ourselves in the mirror, and I look at myself, and I'm like, man, I'm getting wrinkles, a lot more wrinkles every day. And I don't know, guys, does this happen to you also? You wake up in the morning, and all of a sudden you have an eyebrow hair that's like that long. It just grew overnight, and it's this weird thing. Anyway, I look at myself in the mirror, and I see all my flaws, right? If I don't do anything about them and just walk away, I'm going to forget, okay? I don't need to comb my hair, but some of you do. I mean, just imagine looking at yourself in the mirror going, man, I really need to brush my hair. I'm walking away and not doing anything about it. That's what this is like. When we hear the Word of God, when we read Scripture, if it doesn't change something about us, if it doesn't cause us to action, then it's empty. And we're just deceiving ourselves. We aren't really following Jesus if we're not doing something about it. And then in verse 25, he says this, "But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, will be blessed in his doing." It's what we're called to do. It's to do something, right? And I know growing up in the Church of Christ, I grew up in the time, as a lot of you did, where apologetics was huge and defending the faith was huge. And so there were debates all the time. Some Church of Christ scholar would debate an atheist or debate somebody of a different denomination. And, man, people loved that stuff because you'd sit there and listen to your guy, and you'd be like, yes, they won. And the people on the other side would listen to their guy and be like, yes, they won, and nobody really won. We just said a lot of words and didn't change anybody's minds. And I grew up in that era where being right was the most important thing. And we didn't place a lot of emphasis on actually doing what Scripture said. We just placed a lot of emphasis on knowing what it said. And there's a problem with that. There's a problem with that because we're not actually following Scripture if we only know what it says and don't put it into action. Now, I don't want this message by any means to be confrontational or anything like that. I want this to be encouraging. Because this church is known for what it does. In this community, we're known by our actions. And that is, I mean, that's just true. There's so many things that you guys are doing every day to show Jesus to the community around us. I mean, we're talking about the ramp ministry. You talk about One Day, we talk about our involvement with Be the Bush and Miriam House, the meals that are cooked for people, the community meal that happens, divorce care, there's a counseling center now, there's so many things going on, and so many of you who provide ministries to the people around you every single day and never ask for credit. And I want to just thank you and just give you the props that you deserve for actually doing and not just hearing. But I also want to take this time to shamelessly plug our teenagers because they do things also. They are out doing things. And so this summer, we went two different places where they actually got to do. The first one was Give Kids the World Village in Kissimmee, Florida. And I'm not going to go too much into this, but it's an amazing place. And it exists solely to serve families who have children with terminal illnesses or chronic illnesses. And it's mainly volunteer run. And so we took a group of teenagers down there to work for the week. And we got there at 7:30 in the morning and worked till about 11:30. And then we would come back later in the day from like 4 to 9. And we served and we worked in the kitchen and we carried trays for families and we refilled drinks and we threw away trash and bused tables. And we ran attractions and so many different things. We were there to serve these families. And so I just kind of want to run through some of these pictures of our teams. And Give Kids the World, we can't take pictures of the families, so you're not going to get a lot of them actually with kids, but you can kind of see what they were doing. Yeah, there's Addison. They have an ice cream shop where you can go get ice cream anytime you want it. It's amazing. You can have ice cream for breakfast. So they're working in the kitchen, making waffles, I think is what they were doing. They're back there with the waffle maker, serving food. There's Hannah bussing, or that was coffee cart, right? Yeah, going around giving coffee, wearing masks. You saw him in a train. I can't believe you actually fit in there, Song. Those things were tight. But he's taking kids around on a train ride. And this is our group. We're there with Burnt Hickory. But it was amazing just watching our teenagers work. In doing it, not because they had to, but because they wanted to. And doing it in a way that actually showed the love of Jesus to these families. I don't know how many comments we got from the people who actually worked there just thanking us for being there and just bragging on our teenagers about how amazing they did. And the smiles they brought to those families' faces was awesome. And so that was one trip this summer. Another trip, we went on a mystery trip to Cincinnati, Ohio. And we stayed and worked at the Midwestern Children's Home, which is, of course, a place that exists to give homes to kids in the foster system there. And they have a school and this big property. And man, we worked hard, so hard. We're always doing something, always working. Oh, you weren't supposed to be in there, right? No, that's Owen taking a nap. But no. So one of the things that is true, no matter where we go with the teenagers, is adults always underestimate how hard teenagers work. And so when we go to a place like this and they say, "Oh yeah, we've got a lot of stuff for you guys to do. You're going to be busy the whole time." I'm always like, "Yeah, that'll last an hour or two, and then we'll have to look for something else," because our teenagers work, and they actually get stuff accomplished. So they had a ton of stuff for us to do, and we finished it in about an hour. And so we had to come up with, we started looking around, and they have this school, and they wanted to repaint it. So I volunteered our teenagers to wipe the walls down and prep for painting, which means putting tape over all the stuff that you don't want paint on. Has anybody ever done this before? Just in your house, it's a pain. Right, we're talking about 4,000 square foot school hallway and classroom type thing. It took a long time, but they worked hard and they were so appreciative. This is Jed and Owen and Emily, and is Lily in there too? Digging dirt, and then they filled that up with gravel. So they worked hard. But I did want to just kind of brag on them. Because they took the time to do. And not just listen. Or not just speak. Right? We're going back to James 1:22. He says, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. We can regale people with our biblical knowledge. We can debate the existence of God. We can tell people why and how they're wrong. We can get on social media and argue the truth as we see it and accomplish nothing for the kingdom of God. Or we can let the word challenge us to live it out in our daily lives. Going back to Aristotle, he says this, we are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit. Or, to paraphrase, Christianity is not an act, but a habit. If you want to be like Christ, you have to do things that Christ would do. Over and over and over again, until it becomes a habit. That is who you become. So if we're already doing that stuff here, I know, but if you really, really want to be like Jesus, it has to become a habit. It has to be something that you don't even think twice about, going out and doing. And so my charge, hey, we're getting out earlier than we usually do. My charge is to go and do, right? I hope you don't just listen to the words that I said and agree with them, but that you actually let the Word of God challenge you to live daily as an example of Christ to the people around you. If you have any prayer needs, anything that we can help you out with, if you're wanting just some encouragement to go out and do, or if you want to become a child of God and begin a journey following Christ and doing the things that he would have you do in your community and be baptized into his name, then I'd ask you to come forward as we stand and sing.